Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to be with you, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes on Sunday. And if you can't wait till Sunday to hear from me, you can subscribe to our blog. And it comes every day. You can go to the website there and subscribe by RSS technology, the really simple syndication, and we'll even help you get the technology there on the website. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Someone else you can find on our website is Susan Annunzio. Susan is the author of Success is Contagious. She's an internationally recognized speaker and management expert, and she also is the chairman and the CEO of Hudson Highland Center for High Performance, and she's our friend. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you again today.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show, Susan. One of the things that you've done that's very interesting, Susan, and your book is based on this, is you polled people all over the world on what were the best practices. What did they and their people believe was the key to whatever success they had? And they told some pretty interesting things, didn't they?
Yes, absolutely. Well, one of the things we found, Jim, is that it's the environment, not the leader. I mean,
Wait a minute, Susan.
Yes.
You mean the reason my company is doing well is not because of their fearless leader, this highly intelligent, near genius person who's leading them?
Well, of course the leader has an impact.
Okay.
But most of what the leader's impact...
You scared me there for a minute, Susan.
Pardon me?
You scared me there for a minute.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I mean, how could a place like yours be as wonderful as it is without you?
Exactly. But seriously,
there's truth to that. The truth is that a good leader understands the importance of the environment, that good leaders today come in all different shapes and sizes, different personalities. But what they have in common is an understanding that the environment people work in is critical to their success. And what that environment means... Pardon me?
It's hard for a good leader to overcome a bad environment, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, when the environment isn't one where people want to go to work every day, it's real hard to overcome that. But what good leaders...
It's hard to lead people who won't show up, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, people can show up and bring their body, but when they don't bring their hearts and souls, you haven't really gotten anything anyway, other than paying people to do as little as they can so they can get through the day. And many people go to work feeling that way. Because in environments that work, people truly feel valued. Smart people are treated like they're smart. They're told what to do, not how to do it. The environments are congruent. Actions and words match. And last but not least, they're in an environment where they can learn, where they can try new things, where they can experiment, where they can learn from failure. And consequently...
Susan, another thing I think that happens in an environment... In an environment that has all the ingredients that you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
is one where people who aren't smart enough or don't work hard enough, who don't perform, where they're asked to leave, they're encouraged to go somewhere else.
Absolutely.
If you've got deadwood that you allow to lay around, then that's the demotivating force, isn't it?
Absolutely. What we found is exactly what you just said in high performing groups around the world. They didn't keep low performers. And low performers weren't just people who didn't do a good job. Low performers were people who killed the environment, people with the wrong attitude, people who wanted to go backwards, people who always were complaining and were very, very negative, weren't team players, wanted to be stars and didn't want to work with everybody else.
And those people were
asked to leave as well.
Or, Susan, we're not talking about people who aren't redeemable. We're not trying to be mean here.
No.
Some people just need to go somewhere else. They don't even realize, perhaps, that they're not in the right place. Somebody's made a mistake in hiring them, which happens all the time,
mm-hmm.
and that just needs to be fixed.
Absolutely. And I even believe that it's unethical to keep people who aren't happy in an environment where they can't succeed.
You're not doing them any favors by not firing them, are you?
Absolutely. And it's not even the word firing is true. You are firing them. But there's ways to do that. How do you help somebody see that they're not happy? How do you help somebody see that their skills don't fit? How do you help somebody find an environment where they can do their very, very best work?
You know, I have seen a number of cases where a person, and I shouldn't have used the word fire because that sounds like such a terminal situation.
Right, exactly.
But it's not a good word, but sometimes, you know, it's handy. But Susan, I have actually seen a case where people were you know, encouraged to go somewhere else, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
And they literally came back years later and thanked the person for doing that, because what it did is it caused them to reassess themselves, to make sure they didn't allow themselves to be hired into the wrong position again, and they wound up doing something that they were born to do.
Exactly. And then that way they can become productive and happy. And the people in the original environment do better work because that person, either purposely sometimes or unintentionally most of the time, is destroying the environment. And that's not good for the rest of the people. There's nothing that hurts an environment more than people who are constantly saying how bad it is, how much they don't want to be there. And often, sometimes, we let people who get results but have the wrong attitude stay in the environment, not understanding how much they infect the rest of the people.
Well, you know, Susan, and I know my audience, they may get tired of hearing me say this, but I'm going to keep saying it because I think it's the truth, and it bears on so many things that we deal with. In a small business, we have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got one head that doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
And I say, when I say work, I mean it's not really pulling with the team. It isn't getting completely in the harness and pulling with the team. Then you've got a dysfunctional organization. Even one person, you know, when General Motors has one bad apple, one mm-hmm. person who's misapplied, you know, they can get over that. But Joe and Lorene, you know, the small manufacturer with 8 employees, they can't do that.
Absolutely. One of the stories in the book is about a company called Macquarie Capital. They have about 30 people.
Susan, I want you to hold that thought. We're going to come back and learn about that company right after these messages. That's going to be a good story, folks, I promise you. Susan has a lot of these. We're going to be right back. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Susan's book, by the way, is Success is Contagious. And I'm broadcasting live from Woodlands, Texas at the Administaff Small Business Classic. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Woodlands, Texas at the Administaff Small Business Classic, and having a great visit with our good friend Susan Annunzio. And let me spell her last name, ladies and gentlemen. When you got a name like Blassingame, you pay attention to other people's names. Her last name is Annunzio, just like it sounds, Annunzio, with two N's, and don't forget the Z. And by the way, folks, until really just a few minutes ago, I didn't realize I was dyslexic, and maybe I'm not. I did not say the title of Susan's book correctly. Her book is called Contagious Success, Spreading the High Performance Throughout Your Organization. Contagious Success, and that's the one you want to look for. And obviously, you know that if we didn't recommend this book, Susan wouldn't be on the show. So congratulations on a great book, Susan.
Thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate that.
It's available wherever books are sold and probably on your website, too, right?
On our website, we have ContagiousSuccess.com, and, of course, you can get it on Amazon.
All right. Sounds good. Okay, Susan, you were about to tell us about a story about a company that you interviewed.
Yes.
We like stories.
One story that I thought would be particularly helpful is a story about a company called Macquarie Capital. Macquarie Capital is 30 people. It's a niche investment banking firm. And I spoke to the president. His name is Don Suter. And he said he had come from the big investment banking firms, the Wall Street kind. And he said, when you're in a big firm, you have to make a deal with your family. You basically say, you know, kids, honey, I'm going to be gone for the next 10 years. I'm going to miss birthdays and Christmas and holidays. And I'll always be on the road. But in 10 years, we're going to be filthy rich. And then we're going to have a good life. And he said, I didn't want to make that deal with my family. He said, I didn't want to be in a company where I could never see my kids, and I had to be, you know, pretty much in a big firms, it was you ate what you killed. You know, you had to be against your partners. And he said, I was going to form a different kind of investment banking firm, one where everybody got paid according to how well the company did, where we have weekly meetings, where we help one another, we give each other leads, we solve each other's problems, and when we don't, you know, we encourage people to go to their ball games, no one's to work on weekends. And he said, we don't let anybody work in our company who's out for themselves. If you're one of those kind of people and you want to disrespect other people and you want to trample over your coworkers, we don't want them working in our company.
This is a myth, right? This guy doesn't really exist, does he?
Oh, no, this guy really exists. And right now...
We need to clone him, don't we?
Absolutely. His company right now makes more revenues per partner than the big investment banking firms. And they have a totally different culture, one where... You know, people are valued. They're all in it together. He actually writes people emails if they come in on a weekend and say, how come you're here? What happened? Why couldn't you get your work done? And the interesting thing is he said when he first opened his company, they thought they had to hire all A players. They now find that people who may appear to be B players, when put in this environment, quickly become A players.
Diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, I think it's a real lesson for small businesses that you can have a culture where people really take care of each other, help one another, are treated like they're smart, and it translates into dollars and cents for your company.
See, I think that's a model that we're going to see more and more in the 21st century, Susan. Don't you?
Absolutely, right there where you are in Texas. I talked to a man named Paul Spiegelman. He's president of a company called the Barrel Companies. It's a call center. And as you know, most call centers are notorious for high turnover,
right.
Not at Barrel Company. They were rated one of the best companies in Texas to work for. And what Paul told me is, like all call centers, their people get a lot of training, probably at his a little bit more because he takes really good care of his people. He said, but they have three core values that they live by. And part of the training is that people really learn the values of the company, because when you're on a telephone with somebody, you can't always predict everything that's going to happen. And he said, in our company, we tell people that they're empowered to make decisions on the phone, but they need to use the values to be their guide. And I talked to several people at Barrel Company, and they loved working there. They loved working there because they had the power to make decisions, because it was a value-driven company, because they were treated like human beings. And this is a call center. You don't hear those types of things about call centers.
You know, we were joking. I was joking with you a little earlier when we started our visit about leadership. But one thing about it, without leadership, without quality leadership, without positive leadership, well-balanced and centered leadership, mm-hmm. You can't have that kind of an environment.
Absolutely, because what we found in Contagious Success is that when leaders get scared, and that's understandable, there's a lot of pressure to make results today, they tend to have a short-term focus. They tend to unintentionally, sometimes purposely, destroy the environment that they created.
Yep.
You know, we had stories after story where people said to us, oh, yes, we used to be high, our group used to be high performing, and then they raised our target, cut our budget, cut our resources, and we couldn't keep up our performance. Well, you know, there's a popular saying in business today, we need to get more with less. Our study suggests that the only thing you get with less is less.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if your organization is an organization that doesn't promote risk taking and creativity, then that's one indicator that you got an organization that you need to work on a little bit. Susan, give us your website again, please.
It's www.contagioussuccess.com.
Contagious Success is the name of the book. It's also the name of the website. Susan, thank you for being here today. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
We'll see you next time. Susan Annunzio, ladies and gentlemen. That's with two N's, only one Z. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back right after these messages. Stay with us. No matter what the
people say. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.